Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family. But I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about...
Freedom!
Your freedom, no excuses, on the Freedom Report Podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Today is Wednesday, January the 7th, and I am back at my news desk today, and we're talking about a story that I've been wanting to talk to you about for a while, but it just hasn't been right timing. I actually was going to have a guest on my show to talk about this topic, but unfortunately my guest refused to appear, and when we talk about this topic, you're going to know exactly why this guest refused to appear, because... He was terrified, frankly, of the type of reaction he would get. And I'm not surprised, because I don't like to hold this guy's feet to the fire. He's a friend of mine, a neocon. Don't kill me, guys. But yes, I do. I'm a normal person who does have friends that are outside my political beliefs. I even have a few friends that are socialists. You know, I believe in the Thomas Jefferson maxim where he said, "I've never let a difference in politics or religion compel me to separate from a friend." And this guy is a good friend of mine, and he's a good human being. He's just wrong on politics. and the reason why he wouldn't appear is because this is a guy who, when it comes down to it, when it comes to the 2016 presidential elections, this guy is a strict, staunch, hardcore Republican who would vote for Hillary Clinton over Rand Paul. Let that sink in for a moment. He is a strict, stern, rock-solid conservative who says he wants to vote for Hillary Clinton over Rand Paul. Does that sound strange to you? It shouldn't. If you've been paying attention to politics in the last few years, it shouldn't sound strange to you. Because the populist wing of the Republican Party is at war with the establishment wing of the Republican Party. Now, these are the people who, when you watch Fox News and such, these are the people who are pining for Jeb Bush to run. Like, if only Jeb Bush would run, come and save us. Or these are the people who are like, please, Mitt Romney. Oh, Mitt, please. We haven't had enough of losing. We want to lose again. Please nominate Mitt Romney or Jeb Bush or even Chris Christie. Ugh. We're in a lot of trouble, ladies and gentlemen. You and me, if we are fellow freedom fighters, and if you're not some strange social democrat or neoconservative who stumbled upon my podcast by accident, or maybe you just like me as a liberal because of my stance on civil rights, and as a neocon because I'm not quite a pacifist when it comes to national defense. You're also welcome here, but I'm gonna talk some trash right now on you guys. Well, first, let's talk about. Let's read an article that came out last year. This is an old article, but it's important because of this topic. It came to my mind. It's something we're going to have to talk about, and it's something we have to analyze and understand as freedom fighters if we're going to win this argument in the GOP. The biggest parlor game, this is from Politico, and I'm sorry, the title of the article is Wall Street Republicans' Dark Secret, Hillary Clinton 2016. The biggest parlor game on Wall Street and in corporate boardrooms these days is guessing whether Florida Governor Jeb Bush will run for president and save the GOP's old establishment base from its rising populist wing. The second most popular game is guessing what happens if Jeb says no. Two dozen interviews about the 2016 race with unaligned GOP donors, financial executives, and their Washington lobbyists turned up a consistent and unusual consolation candidate if Bush demurs. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie doesn't recover politically, and no other establishment favorite gets nominated. Hillary Clinton. Most donors in Wall Street Titans have not lined up with any candidate yet, waiting for the field to take shape after the midterms. But if Bush doesn't run, the list of Republican saviors could be short. Some donors fear Christie will never overcome the Bridgegate scandal, which you and I know he has by now. Paul Ryan of Wisconsin seems inclined to stay in the House. And to varying degrees, other candidates such as Marco Rubio, Scott Walker, and John Kasich are either unknown or untrusted. The darkest secret in the big money world of the Republican coastal elite. That's where out here where I live, all these coastal Republicans. Blah. The most palatable alternative to a nominee such as Ted Cruz of Texas or Rand Paul of Kentucky would be Clinton, a familiar face on Wall Street following her tenure as a New York senator with relatively moderate views on taxation and financial regulation. If it turns out Jeb versus Hillary, we would love that. Either outcome would be fine, one top Republican-leaning Wall Street lawyer said over lunch. We could live with either one. Jeb versus Joe Biden would also be fine. It's Rand Paul or Ted Cruz versus someone like Elizabeth Warren. That would be everybody's worst nightmare. Well, that would be everybody in the establishment's worst nightmare. To have a principled candidate. A limited government candidate. You damn right that would be against their interests. That would shake up this entire country. And that's why we have to analyze this. Now, before I continue, let me just take a look at this one block of what he says. Hillary Clinton, on her tenure as New York senator, she had relatively moderate views on taxation and financial regulation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that you and I, we like to engage in hyperbole when it comes to describing our political enemies, people like Hillary Clinton or Mitt Romney and things like that. But hyperbole is not going to serve us when we are actually trying to beat them with a radical candidate. Because let's be honest, our candidates are going to be the radical ones. I mean, Rand Paul is way less radical than I am. And, you know, he's still way more radical than Hillary Clinton. And Ted Cruz is way more radical, I think, than both of them. And you know, Ted Cruz not being necessarily a libertarian, but, you know, I'll take Ted Cruz over Hillary Clinton, please. But the truth is that when we're talking about Hillary Clinton and he says moderate views on taxation and financial regulation, he's right. You know, but that's the problem, is that a lot of these people, they're too squishy. You know, we wish they'd take a bold stand on these things. We want them to take a libertarian stand, but they're not going to do it. They're going to stay and do what they can to stay in power to get elected. That's why she does have moderate views on taxation and financial regulation. You know, she's a lot like Bill Clinton in a lot of ways. And a lot of people like Bill Clinton, let me tell you. A lot of people like Bill Clinton. Even libertarians now are saying, oh, God, with these years of Obama, after years of Bush, we miss Billy Bob, you know? And so we've got to be honest with ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, about the challenges that we face, you know, which is going to be hilarious because the Republicans, you know, let's say Jeb Bush gets nominated, right? And it's Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton. You know that the Republicans are going to come right out and be like, they're going to slander, they're going to libel, they're going to say all this BS about Hillary Clinton, about how she's a radical on taxes and she's crazy on healthcare and blah, blah, blah. And the truth is that, you know, they don't think that. They're just going to say that to try and win the election. But if Rand Paul wins the nomination, and it's Rand Paul versus Hillary Clinton, all of a sudden, you're going to see Republicans attacking the GOP, which is amazing because when Ron Paul was running those last two times, and he was so hypercritical, so critical of the Republican Party, those Republicans were like, well, you just need to pay attention. These colors never run. Don't ever criticize Republicans. That's Ronald Reagan's rule. How dare you? How dare you? Well, guess what? If Rand Paul wins, you know those same a-holes are going to be doing the same thing. They're going to be doing that. They're going to be doing what they accused us of. You don't expect anybody to play nice or play fair, liberty lovers. Now, I've got another podcast you should look up if you're enjoying this one. You should look it up. It's called Do Libertarians Need to Learn How to Fight? You damn right they do. And you better stop thinking that these people are going to play fair. By the way, if you're enjoying this podcast, do me a favor, go over to iTunes, click the 5 stars, and write me a nice little review. I'd really appreciate that. Help me get this show out to more people. Let's continue. Most top GOP fundraisers and donors on Wall Street won't say this kind of thing on the record for fear of heavy blowback from party officials as well as supporters of Cruz and Rand Paul. Damn right they won't say that. That's why my buddy, I won't even say his name, that's why my buddy won't come on my podcast. I tried, I begged, I was like, come on, just defend your views. Come on. But he doesn't want to talk about it. Because Republicans, establishment Republicans, are way more comfortable with Hillary Clinton than they are with Rand Paul. Few want to acknowledge publicly that the Democratic frontrunner fills them with less dread than some Republican 2016 hopefuls. And to be sure, none of the Republican-leaning financial executives are so far suggesting they'd openly back her. They will. But the private consensus is similar to what Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein said to Politico late last year when he praised Christie before the scandal and Clinton. I very much was supportive of Hillary Clinton the last go-round, he said. I held fundraisers for her. People close to Blankfein say the same calculus applies to Jeb Bush-Hillary Clinton race as it would to a Christie-Clinton contest. Those would be two very good choices, and we'd be perfectly happy with them, a person close to Blankfein said. Blankfein's a self-described Democrat, but his comments about Christie and Clinton reflect the ambidextrous political approach that many Republicans and Democrats on Wall Street take. That's right. That's right, because these establishment people, they don't care what party it is, as long as they get their bailout. As long as they get their largesse from the American taxpayer, from the Treasury. They don't care. They don't care. They're not like you and me, ladies and gentlemen. They don't care about the future of this country. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about liberty. They only care about what they get from themselves, get for themselves from the rest of us. And, you know, that's not true in the case of my buddy, who I'll talk about his views here in a moment. You know, he's sort of an Alexander Hamilton to my Thomas Jefferson. And we'll discuss that in a moment. But let's continue this. Rubio, with his rocky start in immigration, has impressed many on Wall Street, including the Blackstone Group's Steve Schwarzman, during his forays to the city. Both Walker and Ryan will be in New York. And they're going to be meeting with a lot of these, or excuse me, I guess they did. They met with these Wall Street guys. They call it the Wall Street primary. Most people in the industry find Clinton approachable and have a track record with her, one Republican financial services executive said. They wouldn't align with her on every policy, but they won't view her as hostile to the sector. If it turns out Hillary's walking away with it, there would not be any panic. Yeah, you know why they'd be panicking if Rand Paul emerged as a contender. Is because he carries with him the ideas of his father. And how a lot of these Wall Street fat cats, how a lot of these banksters screwed us in 2008 during the financial meltdown. And they'd be terrified of an audit of the Federal Reserve. They'd be terrified of what that would do to the financial markets. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, let's be honest. They should be. They should be scared. Because then they might have to compete in a free marketplace. Because that's not what these people want. They don't want a free market. If it was Hillary Clinton versus Rand Paul, you would see so many Republicans fleeing the Republican Party for the Democrats. And they'd be these big establishment Republicans and pulling the lever for the Democrats. You'd have a total realignment in this country. And you'd have the freedom fighters on one side. Finally, we'd have what we really want. Libertarians on one side and authoritarians on the other. Just as Matt Drudge said. Clinton warmed some hearts on Wall Street during a paid, closed press speech to Goldman Sachs executives and other big donors when she said of the financial crisis, in essence, "We all got into this mess together, and we're all going to have to work together to get out of it." That line, as the people on hand interpret her speech, reflects the feelings of many financiers. Oh, doesn't it? They know they played a role in the 2008 financial collapse, but argue that many other factors did as well, including federal housing policy and irresponsible borrowers lying on mortgage documents. Wall Street sees in Clinton someone who would not look to score easy political points at their expense. Right. she's someone, she would score easy. When they say score easy political points, what they mean is that she would not, she would definitely bail them out. Because it's our collective responsibility to pay for the mistakes of a small elite few. So, let me discuss, I want to talk to you about my buddy and what he thinks about Hillary Clinton, and mostly I think his fear of a Rand Paul comes from the foreign policy sector. And that's another thing we have to discuss, not just the problem with the financial sector, but the problem with the military-industrial sector, is a lot of Republicans would support Hillary Clinton over Rand Paul because they subscribe to a belief in America as world police, and that's it. I mean, they're not going to change. We're not going to change these Republicans' ideas about foreign policy. We're not going to change their ideas about this. Some of them, maybe we can. But I think it's a fool's errand for us to believe that we will ever change their mind, you know, after World War II, that the United States should not be Team America World Police, kick down everyone's door, be the policeman of the world. That's what their belief is their core belief. You know, and this is a core belief of these type of people, these Hamiltonians, you know, whereas we're more Jeffersonians. These Hamiltonians, their core belief is that the United States, America, you know, should be policing the Straits of Hormuz. We should be harassing Iran. We should be harassing, you know, terrorists in Yemen. Fine. You know, they have their beliefs. We're not going to change them. But what we can do, ladies and gentlemen, is we can beat them back to where they belong, in the Democratic Party. So I hope it's Rand Paul versus Hillary Clinton. I hope that it's a populist conservative slash libertarian. I hope it's Rand Paul versus Hillary Clinton because I want to see these Republicans flee. I mean, I love my buddy. He's a good guy, but get out. Go, my friend. Go to where you belong. The big governments. The big government Republicans need to get with the big government Democrats in one big government party. And let's have the Republican Party. Why don't we change it? Why don't we have it be a limited government party? Wouldn't that be nice? You know, there's not a whole lot of difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And I know people... No. Yeah, maybe they've got some little differences here and there. I don't know, maybe on abortion or things like that. But when it comes to their solutions for problems, their solutions are always the same. More government. You know, Republicans don't even believe in free trade. They don't even believe in free markets. And how do I know that? Because immigration is free trade in labor. Shh, don't tell your Republican friends that. They get mad. Yeah, it's true. Ladies and gentlemen, the fight in the Republican Party is going to be between the Hamiltonians and the Jeffersonians. And you and I, if we are the Jeffersonians, if we are the classical liberals fighting against the statist big government Republicans, we are going to have to find out a way to deal with Republicans who would rather vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, how do you argue with someone like that? How do you come at them with something like that? Well, you're going to have to beat them on the economic front. You're going to have to show how big government is not free market. How you're going to have to win the populist conservatives, the ones who trudge through the snow in Iowa. You know, the ones who, instead of watching Meet the Press on Sunday morning, are going to church. So listen, libertarians, you know, I'm not a conservative. I'm not a Republican. But I am a hardcore libertarian who is willing to talk to these people, these populist conservatives, because we've got to get them on our side and not fight too much with each other. Not fight too much with our friends who love Ted Cruz. Because I'll tell you what, you may not like Ted Cruz personally, But a lot of good limited government conservatives do like Ted Cruz. And if they like Ted Cruz over Jeb Bush or Mitt Romney, you probably got a friend there. So I'm telling you right now, you've got to start thinking about the mentality of the people that we're going to have to fight. Because we're going to have to be, like Matt Kibbe says, first we've got to beat the Republicans. Then we've got to beat the Democrats. First we got to beat Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney. Then we got to beat Hillary Clinton. And then when we fight Hillary Clinton, we're going to have to fight the Republicans who want Hillary Clinton over Rand Paul. So think about that. Think about that. Before you go to war with Ted Cruz and his followers when Ted Cruz runs for president, you just remember that you may need those people someday. And when they talk about, I want to talk about populism here for a second, you know, because I think we are part of that populist movement. You know, a lot of our policy prescriptions, things like abolishing the Federal Reserve and, you know, legalizing gold and silver as a currency, you know, this kind of kooky stuff that we believe, but we believe it. You know, I certainly do. When we talk about this stuff, it is populist, and it is because it's good for them, a lot of people, you know, but I'm not inherently populist. When I talk about populism, you know, a lot of my policies, libertarian policies, things that I would implement, they are populist, but I just, I am an elitist. You know, it's just funny because I rail against these elitist fat cats and things like that. And when I say that, I mean, I'm not egalitarian. Do you know what egalitarian means? The idea that it's a lot of feminists and people like that, a lot of people on the left are egalitarians. You know, they're like, oh, we're all the same, you know, we're all equal, you know. Well, you know, Thomas Sowell and Walter Williams and a lot of very hardcore libertarians would disagree with you. No, if you believe in a merit-based system, then, you know, some people like Ayn Rand, if you believe in Ayn Rand, I'm certainly very Randian in many ways. I'm very Randy. then you would know that, like, freedom does breed inequality, financial inequality in many ways. And that's what makes Democrats angry. You know, that's why they want communism, because, no, we're all the same, equally poor. But as limited government libertarians, limited government conservatives ourselves, we know that natural inequality will rise, but that we understand that rising tides lift all boats, right? And so when we talk about populists, the populists versus the Wall Street Republicans, we have to understand that, yes, we are populists in the sense that, in a broad sense, but in a way, the libertarian philosophy is not populist. It can be very elitist. And Wall Street, listen, if Wall Street Republicans, Wall Street Democrats, if these people were getting their money without being bailed out, if they were competing in a free market and staying alive and doing well, they'd be contributing to society and we'd all be happy. They'd all be populist, right? But the plain fact of the matter is that these people want socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor, meaning that they get all the benefits of government largesse and everything taken care of for them when they're in trouble. But for the rest of us, oh no, we have to suffer the slings and arrows of the free marketplace. And we have to, if we go out of business, you know, my small business right now that I'm talking to you from, my little tiny desk here in an apartment in Alexandria, I could go out of business. Nobody's going to come bail me out. And nobody's going to come bail you out. Because I know if you're listening to this, you're probably not riding in a Mercedes. Maybe four or five of you are, but for the most part, you're probably like me, middle class, working guy or gal, maybe a college student, and you're trying to get out there in the world, and you have to compete in the free marketplace, right? But the Wall Street Republicans, the ones who would support Hillary Clinton, they don't want that. They don't want that. They don't want to have to compete in the free marketplace because they could be out of business in 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean? It's just like the technology sector. You know, you create an application, Flappy Bird, you make 30 grand every single day, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're gone. That guy took off voluntarily, but, you know, a lot of people, a lot of businesses sink. You know, I'm telling you what, I'm struggling right now. I'm making it's hard making a living doing what I'm doing. I do this because I love it, and I hope that people hear this message, and I'll keep going as long as I can. But I've ultimately, if the business doesn't succeed, I got to go do something else. That's not what Wall Street Republicans want. And they've got the power, they've got the financial resources, they've got the connections to stay in business because they can just go to the government. You and I can't do that. That's why we like Rand Paul. because we want we want things to be the same, right? Where everybody has to compete in the free market the same, which is populist. But knowing that we have to compete in the free market, it would be a situation where everybody with the best merit, the best websites, you know, the best podcasts, they'd go to the top. So let's think about this, because when we are fighting in the Republican Party, or fighting on the conservative movement, the right, when we Tea Partiers and Libertarians and true limited government types, real conservatives, people like that, when we're fighting within our party, a group of establishment Republicans who would rather have Hillary Clinton, because of two reasons: one, because she's going to support Wall Street; two, because of her foreign policy. Then we Libertarians have got to think about how we're going to win this fight. We have got to strengthen our views and understanding on foreign policy, which I think is a big problem with libertarians. As I've studied foreign policy more in the last couple of years, it's just not as cut and dry as I think many of us would like to believe. I'll tell you a quick little story. I gave a speech at the Young Americans for Liberty conference before I became, a persona non grata for criticizing the great Dr. Paul. But I gave a quick speech, and I asked a group of students at the Young Americans for Liberty conference. You know, this was right after the Boston bombing. I said, when it comes to foreign policy, I go, all right, I want to see a raise of hands. What would you support, how to retaliate against the Boston bombers? At that time, we didn't know that they were, you know, the Dzhokhar Tsarnaev and his brother were domestic terrorists. For all we knew, they could be from Chechnya, whatever. But I asked this group of students at the Young Americans for Liberty conference, I said, okay, so pop quiz, anarcho hotshots. Pop quiz hotshots. Your Boston Marathon was just bombed. You've got two ways to deal with the terrorists in Chechnya. One, call SEAL Team 6, do a Bin Laden-style raid, take out the terrorists. Two, hire Blackwater, private mercenaries. Go in, take out the guys. Same tactics, but different approaches, different methods. So you're going to use either a free market alternative, you're going to use a free market, you're going to use Blackwater, or you're going to use the government. You're going to use SEAL Team 6. You know what's funny about that? When I asked that question, one half of the audience said the free market, use the mercenaries. The other half said SEAL Team 6. So within our own ranks, ladies and gentlemen, we have this humongous disparity about our beliefs on foreign policy. Now, obviously, foreign policy is just, it's the miasma is enormous. It's very difficult to tell what, you know, everybody can have millions of different opinions on foreign policy. But we libertarians, we like to think we're all together, non-intervention, blah, blah, blah. It ain't like that. You know, most libertarians, when it comes down to it, when you start asking them about what do you do if North Korea launches a nuclear weapon, blow them out of the sky. With what air force? Right? So how are we going to beat these establishment Republicans who they know what they believe in foreign policy? You know, yeah, we think their foreign policy doesn't make sense. But if you think about it, it does to them. Everywhere, all the time. Total domination. Permanent warfare. Standing armies. It's very unitary. It makes sense. They can all rally around it. But for us, we're scattered all over the place. Like cats. Herding cats, you know? And none of us can really say, hey, this is our ideas. You know, it's part of the beauty of our philosophy is that we're all not unitary. We're independent thinkers. But it also becomes a problem when we're trying to take out a fixed position, the neoconservatives' fixed position. So we've got to think, and we've got to debate, and we've got to be careful about purges and expunging people from the ranks. I've been purged and expunged hundreds of times. I'm still here. We've got to think about how we're going to beat these establishment Republicans before we beat these establishment Democrats. And know and prepare for the time that comes. Because if we do beat those establishment Republicans, if we did nominate Rand Paul, then those establishment Republicans and establishment Democrats would join forces and turn against us, and we would have a greater fight than we've ever had in the very short history of libertarianism. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you did enjoy it, please do me a favor. Send me a 5-star review over on iTunes. That's very helpful. Some of you people don't have Apple devices. That's not a problem. If you go to Stitcher, you can find it. It's called Stitcher, like stitching, you know, like a like cross-stitch or whatever. Stitcher.com. It's an Android application. And the Freedom Report is the name of the podcast. somebody was like, hey, I can't find you on Stitcher. Well, the show's called The Freedom Report. And my last name is Peterson, S-E-N. You can get out there and view all of my content at the host of my podcast, Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N, if you want the full archive, because I think iTunes only archives like the last 20 episodes or something like that. I've got over like 160, 170 episodes of this show that I've been doing in the last year. It's been amazing. Last year was 6.5 million downloads of this show. Amazing. Amazing. And I'm hoping this year is going to be even better. But, you know, I got to keep at it, trying to keep the business alive. If you want to help me out in this endeavor, I'd appreciate it. Maybe you've got some Bitcoins. There's a Bitcoin donation page. There's also a PayPal page. But if you really do want to help me out and you want to find that PayPal page, you know, please send me a message and we can talk about it. Maybe a sponsorship to help keep this program alive. Maybe you've got a product you'd like to advertise. Well, 6.5 million people listened to the show last year. Another 6.5. I'm trying to double it this year. Maybe we can get 12, 13 million people this year. If you want to advertise your product, give me a call. Help support the show. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to come back every single day. Your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.